today. Hallelujah to the Lord. We're so glad that you're joining us. And we're on I was going to call it a mini-series. But I want to tell you something. There's been so much sickness in the land, and there's so much fear in the land that I'm considering making it a mega-series. Y'all know what that means, so. Yeah, I love to hear the faith in the house and the enthusiasm. But we're on, this is part two of divine protection. And divine protection is not dependent upon us, it's dependent upon Him. We do have a part to play. And our part is to agree with Him. And what we see in Psalm 91 is to practice His presence. Which I want to tell you, practicing the presence of the Lord is delightful. I want to tell you, what a benefit. There's so many benefits from enjoying. In the presence of the Lord are many benefits. And so it's so great for us to enjoy Him. But I want to tell you, just the practice of enjoying Him brings us under His wings and in His divine protection. Now, there's another part for us to play, and it's in verse 2. Verse 2 says that we will profess who He is. And so it's practicing His presence and professing who He is. And I want to tell you, that's our part. And I want to tell you, that's just cooperating with the Lord. It's our inside and outside yes to God. And a lot of people have a lot of wordy descriptions of what faith is. But I make it just real simple. It's your inside and outside yes to God. Say yes. I want to tell you that puts you on track. And I want to tell you, when you say yes to Him, He sees your faith. And it's amazing what all God does. And after verse 2, and I covered this last week, and I covered it in a hurry. But, you know, go back and look at the first part of this little series, if you didn't, because I try to go through every verse in Psalm 91. I'm going to hit on a couple highlights today. But I want to tell you, after verse 2, verse 1 practices presence. Verse 2, you profess who He is. And after verse 2, you say, He will, He will, He will, He will, He will. All the way through. That's your Lord. That's your God. He's our divine protector. And so this will be exciting for us. One of our pastors attended one of our local cities, a Christmas event. And at this Christmas event, he shared with me later that he spotted the SWAT team was there. And most likely, according to what I remember him describing to you, probably very few people even noticed them because they were kind of behind the scenes. They were overshadowing. And the SWAT team was there, and they were keeping an eye out, and they had rifles ready. And you know what? His response was, it wasn't a fear thing. Oh, no, no. It brought comfort to him. He liked it. He delighted in that. And it kind of hit me as I was thinking about it later that, you know what? At one time in our life, Barney Fife would have been plenty. And, you know, Barney, he didn't get to carry a bullet. Andy wouldn't let him put the bullet in the gun. In the handgun, no, no, not in the pistol, no, he had to carry it in his pocket. He carried an empty, well, at one time, Barney Fife would have been enough. Not anymore. These days, we hear of terrorists, right? Bombs, home invasions, worship centers taken over by demonized humans, viruses that can ride on travelers around the world in hours. Earthquakes, floods, fires, violence, conflict, wars, rumors of wars. Man, I want to tell you, we live in an electronic information age that causes us to be bombarded by negative news. Continually. 24/7. Now, I'm just going to say this because I don't have time to deal with it, but negative news makes money. I hope you understand that. I don't have time to go there. But we receive these instant news feeds, and social media is full. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of social media is negative. Live updates on senseless violence. And I want to tell you, if you feed on that, like they put it out, if you feed on it 24/7, it affects your heart. And I want to practice being sensitive. Sometimes people ask if I'm sensitive. Our heart goes out to those whose lives have been devastated. And all those that have been affected by viruses, man, our heart goes out. The hate attacks, never any room for that. The disasters that take place, man, compassion. We have compassion for that. But let me share with you some Bible truth, because I want you to have the right perspective about your divine protector. The world's going to get dark. Let me say it like this. The world's going to get darker. There will be troubled time before tribulation times. And in this, this is what the Bible says. Isaiah 60, verse 2. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness, does that sound darker? Dense darkness, all peoples. But the Lord, I love this, don't you? Man, that needs to be on your wall somewhere. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen on you. So darkness is going to cover the earth. We recognize that. Deep darkness on all the people. Man, we recognize that. But I got good news for you. And this is kind of what we've been saying since the first of the year. The promises of God for you are true in 22. Pardon. His promises will fortify you. And boy, I've fallen in love with that word, fortified. Yeah, you'd think I got it out of the Bible. No, I got it off a cereal box, but I'm telling you, it applies. Fortified. Let his promises fortify you. Hey, how about like this? Let his promises become so engaged in his promises that they equip you during these times, during these last days. God's promises of his protection and his favor will be personalized to you by the Holy Spirit. And so not only will you see these promises, and not only will they sound good and look good, but as you meditate on them and you allow the Holy Spirit, he will personalize them and he'll put your name on them. He will take the good news. See, it's not going to happen without his word. He'll take the good news. And with his word, he'll cause you to know him better. And so he'll take these promises and he'll give you confidence in Jesus. This is how your confidence grows. It's from seeing him and hearing him in the word. And so you'll know and you'll be persuaded. See, hey, believers, we live in a day, you got to be persuaded. If you're not persuaded, you're going to be swept into the wave of every other human. And so we don't live in a day anymore where you can just be following Jesus from a distance. You've got to be engaged. You've got to be committed. One of the things that this season that we've been through has produced is that there's been a greater gap between those who are hot for the Lord and those who are cold for the Lord. The lukewarm's disappeared. And I want to tell you, you got to be a part of the group that's hot, that follow the shepherd closely. You'll know and be persuaded. And this is what the Holy Spirit will resonate in you, that you are in this world but not of this world. Isaiah 60, verse 2, does not end in darkness. Aren't you glad? See, in this just like the Lord. But the Lord shall arise upon you, people of God. And his glory shall be seen on you. It'll be obvious. The darker the world becomes, the brighter you will shine. As gloom and doom cover the earth, your light will become increasingly radiant. You will be his lighthouse of grace and glory in the midst of deep darkness. The world will see you walking in the fullness of the Lord's blessing and favor. And you will be they will be attracted to you. They'll be drawn to how you and your household can be protected from destruction and chaos all around. How that you can be at peace and have joy in your house when everyone else is full of fear. Let's remember something. Let's meditate on how that Daniel's friends were thrown into a fiery furnace for refusing to bow down to the golden idol of King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I'm not preaching on this today, but I can't help but say it because it's just there. God had promotion in mind for the three Hebrew children. They were His. God's got promotion in mind for you. God's got promotion in mind. But let me tell you this, it's very, very serious. Okay, if you compromise, you will not rise. If you compromise, you will not rise. And so it's very, very important that you take the opportunity to be consistent, to be committed, to be consistent to the Lord. Because if you compromise, you won't rise. Now, sometimes we get in a hurry to go shake the world. I have to remind, especially our young pastors, I have to remind them that, you know what? God's not in a hurry. I know we are, but God's not in a hurry. And I want to tell you, prepare, prepare, prepare. And it was put to me when I was a young minister by an evangelist, an international evangelist. He said, you know what? You minister like this is your last day of your life. He said, but you prepare to minister like you're going to minister for 40 or 50 years. And so there's something to that, because I want to tell you something. We want to go shake the world, but the Lord's not in a hurry. He wants to develop a foundation in us so that the world won't shake us. Well, there's a difference there. He doesn't want you to get in a position of ministry and to blow up. Because if you get in a position of leadership and blow up, then I want to tell you there can be crippled little lambs after you. Okay. So here we are with these three Hebrew brothers. And they refuse to bow down to the golden idol of King Nebuchadnezzar. The king and his governors, his counselors, and they all witnessed for themselves when those boys were thrown into the fire. And let me just remind you, you think the fire's hot for you? I want to tell you, the enemy will make it even hotter. I want to tell you something. It was heated up 7 times hotter. It was so hot that even the strongest of the strong, they got to throw these boys into the furnace. They were killed when they got... They were destroyed. But the three Hebrew boys, they were in the fire. Jesus shows up in the midst of them, and they're having a hallelujah party in the middle of this furnace. And here's all the witnesses and the counselors. They witnessed for themselves that the fire had no power over the three Hebrew boys. And the king even announced himself. There's a fourth in there. Didn't we throw in 3? Count them now. No, there's a fourth one in there. And he looks like a god, because he was. Jesus himself showing up. Hey, the Bible being so true. Listen to this. Let this speak down deep. Not a single strand of their hair was singed, nor were even their garments scorched. In fact, they walked away from the furnace without even smelling like fajitas, without the smell of smoke or fire upon them. They didn't even smell it. Hey, I'm telling you this. Listen to me, friends. You're loved. Focus on the picture of Daniel's friends walking out of that fiery furnace completely unharmed. That's the picture for me and you today. You see, this is what we got to put in the picture of our heart. This is what we've got to focus on, not on the stats that the media is giving you. Okay, you can't focus on death. You got to focus on life. And so we put our heart toward the Lord, and we focus on how that God's our protector and He's our rescue. And this is the picture for me and you. I'm telling you, in Christ, we are of this world, and Jesus brings it out a couple different ways in John 17. But we are of this world, but we are not. We are in the world, but not of the world. Even when we're thrown into the most extreme and challenging circumstances, we can walk out unarmed. Unharmed. The same Lord Jesus who stood with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he stands with you today. You got to see that. You got to give thanks for that. I get questioned sometimes because we so emphasize the promises over the problem, and sometimes we emphasize the that Jesus is the cure over some kind of cause, that I get questioned sometimes, well, do you believe that the darkness is real? Because, you know, we don't honor the darkness. We don't celebrate the darkness. We don't talk about the darkness. We talk about the light. But I'm here to tell you, I've never said that the darkness wasn't real. I've never said that the fire wasn't real. But what I do say is, let's believe God's promises so that you can live protected, so that you can live untouched, and there can His promises can be an even greater reality in your life than the problem. And the promises are a greater focus than the problems. That's where we connect. You say, well, Brother Tim, I'm not there. Well, you know, I'm not where I want to be either. And so I'm saying, let's join the team together. Let me say it like this. Let's move the right direction one step at a time. Okay, let's make progress. You know what? You ought to be in a greater place of believing this year than you were last year. And I want to tell you, we fight stuff too. The promises of God work better in our life when we believe. Boy, isn't that deep? This is why we need to grow and learn. You know what? Tell you, just in the last month, we've been attacked with a couple of different things. But I want to tell you, I got to brag on your first lady, man. It really touched me. She got hit with some sore throat stuff, you know. And, man, she went to battle. Word, communion, praise, prayer, you know, fighting back. Do you understand that she, just like anybody else, could have just laid down to it and said, okay, have your way. No. But I want to tell you, and you know what? It took a couple days. But you know what? Part of what she did during that couple days, and my encouragement, was for her to rest. And I want to tell you, that's a pretty spiritual thing to do. But I want to tell you, man, the Lord touched her. And I told her this, and I believe this, and I'm saying this about her. I'm saying it about myself. I'm saying it about you too. Hey, look, you probably protected yourself by cooperating with the Lord and by pursuing and by fighting back. You probably protected yourself from something that would have put you on your back for a long time. Man, we got one pastor here this morning that went through a battle. And I told him this morning during the huddle that, man, the enemy wanted his life, because the enemy is afraid of what he can accomplish for the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you, if he never lost the voice of praise in his heart, and I want to tell you, the Lord raised him up. Okay? We got more here that's got testimony. And there's many trophies of grace here because it's the real. And I want to tell you, I'm so thankful. I'm so excited to be a part of a group that want to be a part of the real. But that's why we're here. That's why Jesus has come. Man, I got hit. I got back from a trip Thursday night. I was aching, man. My body was aching. You know, the aching all over. It felt like years ago that I'd been in a fight and got beat up. Well, it's time to fight. It's time to fight back. And you know what? It took a couple days of fighting. Really, one day of fighting, 2 days of rest. I want to tell you, 48 hours later, man, I'm good to go. You understand? You say, well, hey, you know, I want to grow to the place that is not 48 hours or 24 hours. It's maybe a couple hours. I'm not there. But let's move that direction. And I want to tell you, you're worth fighting for, because Jesus died for you. You're worth fighting for. And so he's given us a lot of hope. That's why we're here. That's why Jesus came. And the Word of God is very, very clear and tells us that fear invokes torment. Now, fear's done a way more destruction than any virus. I'm telling you, Bible's real clear. Believers are not to be affected by fear. I know fear comes. I know fear attacks. But the Bible's real clear that we got to draw the line when it comes to fear. Because the Bible says that the Lord doesn't give us a spirit of fear. And if he doesn't give us a spirit of fear, where does it come from? Well, it comes from darkness. And so it's real clear there. But look at this. This is what the Word tells us, 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out the doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, has not grown into love's complete perfection. And so this is very, very clear. It's very, very true that his love will chase fear out your doors. And so if you're affected by fear, having trouble by fear, we have compassion for you, but we'll also point you to the love of Jesus. We need to grow in the love of Jesus. And what it's saying is that if you're having trouble with fear, is that you need to grow in his love. Because growing in his love will chase fear out the door. We need to grow up in his love. So let's let the Holy Spirit witness in you the words of God. Jesus has paid the price for you to be anchored in his protection and his love for you. He has won. I want to tell you, the cross was a win. The resurrection was a celebration of the win. He has won, so every trace of fear can be expelled from your heart. Don't compromise with fear. Don't give fear a place. Fear is not a friend. Fear is an enemy. Now, you know, with everything happening in this world, you know, the terrorism, the war, the calamities, you know, some people are affected by that because that's what they focus on. Well, that may not be your problem. What I found to be true is this, is that some have greater fears over some immediate personal circumstances in their life. For example, one particular person I have in mind, they're so afraid they're going to lose their job. And so when I questioned them, well, is there a threat to your job? Well, no. Well, is they got your name on a list? No. But what if I lost it? What would I do if I lost my job? Well, you know, hey, that fear can torment you. That fear can absolutely cause a disturbance in your mind and keep you so stirred up that you don't touch the Lord. You see, the whole purpose of fear is to keep you away from faith. And I want to tell you, hey, don't let fear keep you from enjoying the presence of the Lord. Hey, it goes something like this, that you got to see the Lord as your provider, not your job. Your job is one of the ways that he provides for you. But it's the Lord that's providing for you through the job. Do you see that? Well, I'll tell you, that'll give you some rest because your trust is in the Lord and not in a job. Here's another one that hits people pretty hard. We get these symptoms in our body. And we'll say, that don't feel right. Oh, that's not right. Ooh, I wonder what that might be. And fear comes. And, you know, fear has a way of magnifying things. And I want to tell you, worry is like the celebration of fear. Just like praise and thanksgiving is the celebration of faith. Well, I want to tell you, worry comes. And I want to tell you, worry will tell you stuff like this. Well, I just know this is something very, very bad. This is something that's going to put me in the casket. Okay? Something that's going to put me in an isolated room. Something that's going to take me down. This is what, I don't know the name of it, but it's something bad. And so we get this fear that these bodily symptoms of we're experiencing are going to grow into something deadly. Well, I want to tell you, let's let the word from Jesus be the first and last word. Okay? And when we trust Jesus as our healer, when we trust Jesus as our restorer, and we trust the Lord with our future, I want to tell you, He's got you. God's got you back. Jesus got you slack. Holy Spirit, keep you from being hijacked. Okay? God's got you covered. Going, coming, all around. It's in Psalm 91. He's got you covered. And so it's very, very important. Now, here's another one that seems to hit, is that there are people that are just convinced that something's wrong going to happen to their kids. Well, you know, look, you can't live there. Okay? I know the enemy can paint these worst-case scenarios. Oh, what if they do this? What if they do that? What if they don't do this? What if they don't do that? Well, we could go back and interview Job, and he'd say, don't do that. Okay? Trust the Lord with your kids. Okay? Give them to God. Trust the Lord. And let's depend on the Lord for His divine protection over them. And you can't be consumed with these scenarios that they're going to get in trouble, that they're going to be hurt. Whatever, target fear, because you see, there's different. The enemy knows us well enough to target a fear target with us that will grip your heart. The Lord wants you to know that He wants to garrison your heart. He wants to garrison your heart. Now, you're not a regular human. And I say it like that because I'm saying that you got Jesus in you. You got a choice. You got a choice. Are you going to be a victim of fear? Are you going to be a victim or a victor? Because God said, I set before you life and death. And He said, choose life. I want you to choose life. Let me tell you, you are set apart by your heavenly Abba. You're set apart by your God. Look at this scripture, Psalm 121:4. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I want to tell you, you got to take this and meditate on it, and it's like the Lord is saying this, hey, son, hey, daughter, you can rest because I'm on the job. You can sleep well because I'm not sleeping tonight. I got you covered 24/7. Do you see that? Hey, He overshadows us. That's our Lord. And I want to tell you, you let this be ingrained in your heart to the place where you smile. And, you know, some thought comes across, this fiery dart comes through your mind that, you know what, well, you're not paying attention so and such. No, because my God's paying attention. You know what He's saying? I got this. We cannot take His protection for granted. We have a place to cooperate. And so this is where we need to believe, we need to agree, we need to confess His truth. You see, it's mighty, mighty truth that He's your divine protector. But this truth has got to be applied. Okay? It's got to be appropriated. It's got to be applied. It's not based on us. It's based on Him. But our yes needs to be present. Okay? Are you with me on that, saints? So we need to agree. We need to confess His truth. This is application and appropriating who He is into your life. It's got to be personal. It's got to be revelation. It cannot just be words on paper. It's got to be highlighted truth in your heart. Are you listening to this? And I want to tell you, say, well, I'm not there. Well, get there and stay there till it is there. Because you need personal revelation. I may have revelation on it. Pastor Rich or Pastor Patrick may have revelation on it. But I want to tell you, if you don't have revelation on it, you got to have it. And it's got to be for you. It is for you. It's got to be personal. You need to stay there till you see it with your name on it. One of the things that we tell people is to own it. Own it. This is what the Lord wants. He wants you to make it you. Let's grow in Him. Let's uncover the treasure of God's Word about divine protection. Because it's here. And it's clear. And it's for you. I want to tell you, you may need restoration. Well, let's uncover the treasure of restoration that He is. I was sharing with a brother last night on the phone, and he was asking me about memory. And he said, I know you've been through some stuff about memory. I said, yeah. High fevers, dengue fever. Yeah, that stole some memory. Stroke, yeah, stole some memory. But I want to tell you something. Let me tell you the good news. Our God's a God of restoration. And let me tell you about the principle, the offering of the restoration offering. I want to tell you the principle of it. It's 120%. You know what that means? Smarter than ever. Huh? 120% better. I want to tell you, we got a pastor here who went through some high fevers just a few weeks ago. And I know from experience that'll take a load on you. I want to tell you the good news, man. He had some high fevers. The good news is, Joanna, his wife, says he don't have any more brain damage than what he had before. Hallelujah! Is that great? Well, it was something like that. Okay, what I'm telling you is, we have the God of restoration. And so we have great forward to look to. Okay? He's our healing. Maybe it's healing that you need. Seek the healer. You need more than a healing. You need to know the healer. Forgiveness. Well, I want to tell you, forgiveness is powerful. And I want to tell you, one of the greatest things I ever get to lead people through is receiving forgiveness from Jesus, because he's already done it. It's a done deal. And I want to tell you, the next thing is leading them into forgiving themselves, because it's the same forgiveness of Jesus that leads you in forgiving yourself. It's so freeing to forgive yourself of all the things you've said and done against yourself. Wow. Righteousness. Man, a lot of condemnation comes from the enemy, and he will convince you that you're never good enough. I want to tell you, according to what Jesus has done on the cross, you're not limited by your past. Your failures don't write your name. Okay, you are not your failure. Because of Jesus, all that's been washed by the blood. It's been cast into the depths of the sea. And he says, I remember them no more. And I want to tell you, when you get free from condemnation and guilt and shame, the shame-blame game, you're set free to follow Jesus. Wow, how exciting. It may be provision. I want to tell you, the same God that protects you is the same God that provides for you. And he's your provider. I want to tell you, I don't care what the prices look like. I don't care what the economy does. You're not limited by the economy of this world. You operate by the riches of his glory. Your Lord is your provider. And he's done this in ways that's so amazing. But we need to learn how to take and apply these faith-building truths that will strengthen us. Don't stay where you are. Let's progress. Our Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll deliver you too. His abundant life will is for you. And it's for you to be empowered. He will empower you to truly live confidently and fearlessly in these dangerous times. Look, I've never preached that trouble won't come. The Bible says trouble does come. But I want to tell you what Jesus promotes is that you'll be protected. There's protection for you. There's provision for you. And I want to tell you, one of the greatest hindrances to receiving from God is fear. And so let's mark fear for what it is. It's not a friend, it's an enemy. It's not normal for a believer. It's normal for unbelievers. Okay? They're ruled by it. We're not to be ruled by fear. We're not to be harassed by fear. We've dealt with a number of people over the years who come to the house for ministry help that are absolutely harassed and tormented, okay, in ways I'm not even going to try to describe, but I'm just saying to you, harassed and tormented by fear. And man, when I start sharing with them the simplicity of getting to know Jesus and to experience his love, you know what? A number of them say, no, that's too simple. I need something real. No, I'm here to tell you this is real. But you know what? It's not something I can give you. It's something you got to receive and practice yourself. But he wants you to know his love in a deep and personal way. And part of the goal that all of us are to have, according to Paul, is to get to know his love in a deeper, more personal way as a lifetime goal. And I want to tell you, that should be our journey. And when that is our journey, it's amazing what all he's able to do. Okay, I'm going to wrap up with this, so stay with me. Let your life be a lighthouse. Let it be a lighthouse to broadcast to others what he says and what he does and who he is. Now, I know last days are dangerous days. But let me tell you something. That's not even the way we're supposed to think. Last days are protected days for the believers. And you know what? We don't look to trouble. We don't look to death. You know what? We look to life, and we look for his return. That's the emphasis in Scripture for believers, is to look for his return. And so our focus is his return, not death or trouble. And I want to tell you, when we pursue his peace and his joy and his love, then we're like a lighthouse that broadcasts it in this deep, dark world. Let's broadcast what he says. Let's broadcast what he does, because then we broadcast who he is. Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Let's camp out there. He who dwells, he who camps out. He who stays the night in the secret place of the Most High, enjoying his presence, shall remain stable. Does anyone need to be stable in these days? Does anyone need to be fixed under foundation of the shadow of the Almighty? Then I want to tell you, he's available for you. And he loves you. And he paid a price for you. And you know what? We can receive it this morning by faith. It's not by our works. It's by our faith. Is there something for us to do? Yeah, we can cooperate. Because I want to tell you, the truth will set you free. If you apply it. Let's pray this prayer right now. And let's just by faith submit to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we give ourselves to you afresh. Lord Jesus, you're my protector. You set me free from all works of fear. I renounce every curse of fear. And I receive life. I receive freedom. I receive your deliverance. You're my freedom. By your blood, I'm free. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a thank you offering. Let's praise the Lord and celebrate the Lord. Thank you so much for being with us and for being here today. And I tell you what, I had a little trouble with my talking. I had a little trouble with my nose. And I wanted to just take an East Texas moment here, but, you know, it would have disturbed you and the media and made my wife get on to me. And so I just kind of worked my way through it. Thank you for your patience on that. I tell you, a benefit, even though I was kind of struggling with my nose and my voice a little bit, a benefit that you got is I preach shorter. And so there's always something to thank God for. And on that note, you know, your family, thank you so much. You look past a lot to see Jesus, and I'm thankful you do. On that